The White Hawaiian is in the studio. How white are you?
I'm pretty white.
Eric Gilliam is such a brilliant actor, performer, musician, and all around, truly, he hides the fact that he's a good guy. A lot of times you're not realizing what Eric is doing behind the scenes. That's really cool. You do a lot of cool stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah. I'm out there trying to make things happen, that's for sure.
Well, you are. And you're doing some gigs that are kind of cool, too. On Mondays, you do Four Seasons. And,
yeah.
And Tuesdays at Frida. Is it Frida or Frida's?
Frida's.
With an S, yeah. But what we're really thrilled about is the resurrection. The resurrection of the White Hawaiian. He's back.
He's back.
He's back. And I'm so glad you're working with Scott and Jill and you and Brian. Really worked hard. I mean, I was just talking to you a little bit about what it took to create this presentation. And it was like, I mean, I knew it's a multimedia thing that is sold out. It's always sold out. And everyone raves about it. But its new incarnation is going to be happening at Pro Arts. And really, it's just a few weeks away. It's coming up Friday, July 8th, and then the 9th, and then the 10th at Pro Arts. And how many? Is about 100 people can go in that?
Yeah, I think it seats 104 people.
That's intimate.
It is intimate.
It's like a living room performance.
It's a great space, and it's a space that's really good for this particular show. The show was always meant to be in an intimate space like that. So we're excited to go back to go to Pro Arts. I'm looking forward to working with Lynn McEwen, who runs the place, and she's amazing to work with, and they're doing a lot of quality stuff down there. And you've got 18 restaurants within walking distance of Pro Arts, and lots of parking, and so it's going to be
true.
It's
and they
be
don't
fun.
Charge you for parking there.
They don't charge you. No,
yeah.
Parking's
nice.
Free.
There's no extra fees.
Yeah,
there's no extra fees. You know, White Hawaiian kind of sounds like a home movie on acid. Well, I mean, you have this mind that I think is really expanded, Eric, but to take what your life was and is and put it all into your brain and express it all as a one-man show, it's almost like a dare. It's almost as someone dared you. I mean, where did this dream come from?
Well, the truth is that, for many, many years, I've been a fan of and watching an actor named John Leguizamo in New York. He's a pretty famous actor. He's done a lot of film, but he had a series of one-man Broadway shows that he wrote, and they're amazing. Some of them are on Netflix and Amazon Prime, and they were autobiographical, and I remember watching them and thinking, this is something that I would like to do, because it's not really stand-up comedy, you're storytelling, but he takes it a step further, and when he talks about characters, he becomes those characters. And so that was really my inspiration, and I got together with my old high school buddy Brian Cohn, that, we've done a ton of projects together. We produced The Barefoot Natives with Willie Kay. We wrote the movie Get a Job. We've done a lot of projects together. And I told Brian, because I knew that he would be the right guy for it, because he knows all the people in my family. He knows all the characters, and he knows most of the stories. And so we sat down, and we spent a year writing this story.
Did you do it as a script?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
We wrote it as a proper script. And the only thing I knew was that I wanted to do a one-man show.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell my story, and I knew, and I had the title. I knew it was White Hawaiian. It just came to me one day, because I was like, well, I kind of am a White Hawaiian. I'm Hawaiian, but I grew up, as a very fair-skinned, Caucasian-looking Hawaiian boy. And that whole dynamic of that story growing up here, I knew that there were just so many wonderful. I come from a very colorful family,
very colorful.
Entertainers,
yes.
And going all the way back to my great grandparents. And so, we set out to write the story, and we wrestled it and got it to, you know, February of 2019. We presented it at the Maui Arts and Cultural Center. We sold out the run of the show. It came back in, no, that was December of 2019. Then we brought it back in February of 2020. And then, as we all know, in March of 2020, the world came to an end. And the show was intended to go on tour. We were in the process of inking a deal with a resort on the west side. The show was meant to be an ongoing show, and it still is. And we are endeavoring to get the show back up on its feet at Pro Arts, and then see where we can, where the show will find, you know, a permanent home. It may be Pro Arts, I don't know. And then the show, because we've modified the show too, so it's far more tourist friendly, so that it's really the story about a family of entertainers that are just trying to make it.
You know, it's interesting when you read a book, you actually do read the book in your mind. You are playing the different roles, now other sides of yourself, just like when you write an autobiography or any kind of story. Part of you is that role that you play, you know. So when you take it to that level of what you're doing with this, it makes total sense that you would and could do that. I mean, then the modifying force would be kind of how far can you take your family and let them come out in ways that other people may not understand, right, or might offend someone if you really went too over the top, right? Because you know your family secrets. Right. Most of them, right? There might be some skeletons left in that closet. But you might even be able to imagine those skeletons, right?
Well, we've taken some artistic liberty with the show, but by and large, all the characters that I play in the show, I play my great-grandfather, who I never met, so there's a good example of somebody we had to, you know, I had to imagine who this guy, but he was this crazy bare-fisted boxer from Canada that ended up in San Francisco and got shanghaied on a boat and ended up in Kahului Harbor. And so we took that sort of basic story idea and then kind of ran with it and embellished it. And so he's quite a character. He's the first person you meet in the show.
What's his name?
Lewis Buckleman Wood.
I love that, Buckleman.
And yes.
It's a good name, huh?
It's a great name. And we have photos of him, and he's just this crazy looking guy.
We actually have photos.
Absolutely. He's cool. He ended up becoming working for the telephone company. He installed the first telephone in Iolani Palace.
My gosh!
And so, you know, and then he met my great grandmother, who was pure Hawaiian, who had just paddled a canoe from Molokai with her two brothers, and they met in Kahului Harbor.
Wow!
And they married right away. And so that's where the story begins, and it takes you all the way up into, you know, you meet my grandmother, who was this very colorful Hawaiian entertainer, very famous in the 30s and 40s, and, you know, she had an amazing career and was on Broadway and went to New York and played at the Cotton Club.
She's famous.
She had her own showroom in Las Vegas, and her whole story of being married five times.
Five times?
She was married five times.
Wow.
And so you meet all of those guys, you know, mm-hmm. her, because in the context of this story, her five husbands are all in her band. So they're backing her up. And so, you know, there's...
I love that. That's kind of an inside joke. Wait,
it is.
I love
it
that.
It is an inside joke, but there's a lot of wink-winks in the show, you know. And then, of course, you know, my grandmother had my dad, so you meet my dad's wonderful character. He was such a wonderful man, and I play him. And then you meet my mom, and you meet them when they first met. And it's in full costume. I really get to have fun with these characters, because nobody knows your parents more than their children. So,
mm-hmm.
And my mom, you know, bless her heart, she just passed in December, and you know. As sad as that was, I'm just happy to know that she's in a better place, but I am, you know, I get to kind of crank up her character a little more, because she saw the show when it first opened, and when I came out as her, I literally had to hold for laughs, because I come out as my mom when she's about 24 years old, beautiful, she's got a beehive wig, it's 1969.
Oh my.
And she just landed on Maui, and she's not sure what's about to happen. You know, her Hawaiian husband dragged her to some tropical island, and she's like, "Well, I just hope I don't have to live in a frickin' grass shack." And so she's quite a character. And then, of course, they have children, and you get to meet all my siblings. I get to play them.
Quite an interesting gathering of different types of people in your family. Of course, everyone knows Amy, so you got to. I mean, did you have to modify Amy to a degree, or how far could you take Amy?
Oh, man.
Because she's such a diva. She's really a diva. She's amazing.
Let me tell you, it's one of the highlights of the show is when you finally get to meet my sister. It's not what you would expect.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
What way is it different?
Well, I'm not going to give it away, but you got to come see the show. It's really... the circumstances that you meet my sister in the show is all through the, my dad's, concoction of wanting to play manager and manage his kids. And so he creates a situation for Eric that brings my sister into the story. And it's quite funny, I have to admit. And I don't want to give any of it away because the show is just full of it's really, there's a few things about it that are fun for me, because ultimately the joy I get out of doing the show is the biggest compliments I get is making people, reflect on their own families, because everybody's got characters in their family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how life goes. And so it's a lot of fun, where you meet these colorful characters, but people do come up to me after the show and go, "Oh my God, when you came out as your mom, it reminded me of my mom or my uncle or my aunts." And so everybody's got characters in their family. And I mean, it's just, it's a fun, colorful, the show is written in such a way that just when you think things can't get any weirder or more difficult for the lead character, which is me. I'm playing myself. And I'm a guy that's just trying to make it in show business. And my dad's playing. He's my agent, and he's got these kids that are entertainers. And so we've woven in this, very colorful, lots of musical numbers. You get to go with me to New York City when I actually was on Broadway, and the shows that I did in New York, and the circumstances that were leading up to that. And so it's just a very colorful story.
You have had a very, very colorful life. And people sometimes only see a certain side of you. Mm-hmm. You don't post a lot on social media, I don't think. But, I mean, you have tons of friends. And, of course, most people in Hawaii have seen you in other movies. What are they going to discover about you, if they haven't seen this already? What are they going to discover about you that they may not have seen before?
Well, the show is also a vehicle that allows me to do everything that I do, which is, I'm a singer. I was a professional dancer on Broadway for years. And
you dance in this?
It's so you get to see the scope of kind of what I really was trained to do. When I came home in early 2000s and I ran into my buddy Barry Flanagan from Hoppe, and it was like, well, when in Rome, I was home and I was like, well, what am I going to do? There's not really the theater scene. I didn't really know what I was going to do. And so I started playing music. And so for about a decade, I really sunk my teeth into becoming a recording artist and putting out albums and stuff. And so that window of time kind of defined me here on island. But everything leading up to that was, I went to a performing arts school in Chicago. I studied formally as an actor. I was in all kinds of dance companies. I was working with Debbie Allen from the series Fame. I ended up, I was in New York as a professional singer dancer. And so, all of those elements, I think you're going to get an opportunity to see all of it. It's really, I reveal all in the show. I mean, I don't leave anything.
The full Monty?
Yeah, the full Monty. I'm going to say, it's.
I'm sorry, you just said reveal all. I mean, I couldn't help but think.
I got to leave something to the imagination.
Fishnet stockings?
Oh, well, I go way beyond fishnet stockings.
Way beyond fishnet. Way beyond.
That's nothing. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, there's.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to the one and only Eric Gilliam. Eric Gilliam has been working so hard on the White Hawaiian production and found a home at Pro Arts. And you know, I just have to let people know this has sold out every time it's happened. That's why it's a few weeks away, but not that far, July 8th at 7:30 at Pro Arts. Saturday also 7:30. And then I think it'll be very popular. Also, the matinees at 2 o'clock on Sunday are also so very popular. But you can get tickets a couple of ways. You can go to proartsmaui.com. But you can also call Pro Arts for tickets.
Or you can go to whitehawaiian.com.
Oh, I didn't know you can get – that's good to know. Whitehawaiian.com.
Whitehawaiian.com will take you right where you need to be.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So we're talking about this whole expose, your autobiography done in only the way that you, Eric Gilliam, could tell it. I have to ask you, I mean, this is the same process as you're talking that you go through when you write an autobiography. I mean, you basically have to go through the same kind of thing. Did you think about taking what you have already in the script and turning it into an autobiography?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, you know, we, you know, had to be so somewhat selective, too, because there are so many stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to kind of pick and choose because
edit.
Yeah, ultimately. Yeah. But yeah, an autobiography would certainly create an opportunity to tell way more stories.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have the pictures already picked.
And we've got photographs. Yeah, there's a lot to this. And that's the other part of this show that is also really fun for an audience, which is between each character, there is these short interstitial films that I brought on a wonderful Hollywood editor by the name of Adi L.
And you met him in Hollywood?
No, met him here. He lives here. He teaches at MCC.
Oh.
Very talented man. And so as I'm sort of changing costumes into the next character, you get to go on a history, somewhat of a history lesson of Hawaii. And you get this, you starting at the turn of the century, you see every decade, you see you're reminded of what was happening in Hawaii at that time.
Mm.
And some amazing footage. Some of it, a lot of it is family footage.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it we've cobbled together to tell this story. And you see Hawaii through the lens of a family of entertainers. And that's a really wonderful element to this show, because that's what makes it a multimedia experience. So there's music and there's singing and there's dance and there's storytelling, but there's also about 8 short films. They're 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, but they're amazing films.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderfully created by Adi. So that's a good part of the show too.
Well, and this is something, of course, now you're going, if you go to Broadway or any other major city show, you're going to see that. This is the way a lot of these shows are being handled now, with multimedia included in them. So, I mean, it's really nice to be able to see that here. I mean, typically, when you would do something like this, maybe in a major city or something like that, you'd have a major producer or sponsor that would be presenting it. You know, you'd have someone who is putting this all on, and you wouldn't have that on you because that's way it happens, you know, in big cities. A lot of times you don't pay for it yourself. You know, you don't do it yourself, right? But you're doing this yourself, pretty much. And in that case of it, I mean, really, obviously, you're invested in it. I think you told me before I started here how much you had already put into this production, just doing the work and the edit and the time and what you're taking to do this. And it is what you would pay for a big show in a big city.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the pluses and the negatives, right? The positive thing is that you get to stay here in your house, in your home, and do it, right? And plus, people understand, because most of the people coming, a lot of the people coming, will have known you and of your family. The negative is that you're not going to make as much money as if you took this to New York or Las Vegas. I think it'd be huge in Las Vegas. Have you thought about maybe going to Las Vegas or some place where you could do a bigger show and get more money and sell tickets for more?
Yes, we are actually currently working on the Outer Island tour because I'm going to take it to the Big Island to Oahu. We're talking to some venues over there now. Vegas is definitely an option for us. And, you know, a real tour. That's the beauty of doing a one-man show. Mm-hmm. It's just me, some costumes, some props, some videos, you know. So we're definitely planning to take it on tour.
How would it be different? I mean, obviously, like I said, people know you here, you know, you got that already going on. Would you change that attitude a bit if you were going to? I think Las Vegas would be a great place because there's so many Hawaiians there. Probably a lot of people know you there as well. Or your sister, I think, has also performed there. But how would you change or have to adjust it if you were taking it outside of the islands?
I mean, there's really, the show was designed to travel. It's designed to be in small venues. That's mm-hmm. that's the beauty of it being a one-man show is mm-hmm. I can afford to be in small 200-300 seat venues mm-hmm. Because I don't have a huge overhead. Yeah. You know, I can travel. The show is designed to travel with me and one other person mm-hmm. who can run the who can actually kind of run the tech side of the show, mm-hmm. and we can hit the road and go. I'm definitely endeavoring to get it to New York. I know the show would do really well little theater in New York.
Yeah,
you know, it's a provocative title, White Hawaiian. I mean, I have like fantasies of taking this show to like, you know, Bozeman, Montana, and just people driving down the road going, hey, honey, there's a show in the theater here called White Hawaiian. We got to go see that.
It's not like you used to think it was in Montana. I have my friend Jesse Close, who got me started in radio. Her sister's Glenn Close, and they both live there in Bozeman, Montana. And I went and visited her like 25 years ago. She says, Cindy, you won't believe what's happened to this town. It's like, I got like what's happened everywhere, right?
Sure.
These places have boomed, you know. But there are a lot of stars. There's a lot of movie stars who have retired in Bozeman. And they would love it. They would absolutely love it as well. Absolutely love it. And Bozeman's become like a hot place. Everyone wants to have a ranch in Bozeman, right? And that kind of thing, you know. So, I mean, I think it really would relate and people would love it. It'd be interesting even what happened if you took it to Europe, et cetera, you know. Be very, very cool. We know some of your family. Obviously, we know Amy, you know, and your brother, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not in the typical entertainment field, but I guess in a way, being a captain of a ship is entertaining. I don't know what role you play in that particular role. Is there another brother? I think
it's just the three of us.
Tim and which is, who's the oldest? Tim is the oldest?
My brother, and then I'm the middle.
And then
child.
Amy's the youngest.
Yeah.
Okay. So these three beautiful and amazing and talented and interesting souls come to light. They've all seen it, I'm sure. They've all gone to it. What did they tell you about it when they saw it?
Funny you should say that, because my sister, of course, she was backstage helping me change costumes and do stuff. So she took the ride. She even came out when I did the show the first time. She came out and did a little guest thing at the very end. But my brother, who's, you know, a pretty quiet guy, I was waiting to get his response, and the only thing he said to me was, "You say too much." And it made me laugh. I said, "Oh, good. If that's what you think.
That is funny, isn't it? Isn't that funny that he would say that?"
I mean, it is what it is, man. Yeah. Life happens, and you know, and I do reveal a lot of family secrets and dynamics that, you know, they were just.
But every autobiography does.
Of course.
That's why people buy autobiographies, because they want to read about the stuff they may not know about in a person, right? I mean, and I'm sure most autobiographical shows do that. I saw the one that they did on PBS of Bruce Springsteen. I love the way he did it. Now, it was not theatrical and funny, but I mean, he did tie in stories.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked also is he told the story of the music that he was going to tell with the stories and the backstory of the music, which everyone loves to hear, you know, about. But my God, tickets, I wanted to see that. I went to the Grammys in New York. He was there. Tickets were going, obviously they all sold out. You could get a ticket for $4,000. $4,000? I said, no, I love Bruce Springsteen. I've had a chance to see him many, many times. I'm not going to pay $4,000, you know? I mean, but there is this interest that we have in people who we listen to, that we get to know, that we really want to know what makes them tick. What did you discover about you? Because we do. In any autobiography, you discover stuff about yourself. What did you discover about yourself when you were getting ready and doing this play that you might not have maybe looked? I mean, things are revealed when you look and do that subconscious look into your past.
Well, it's always an interesting exercise when you take all of the stories and you put them on the page, and you know, you get to see the scope of your life, you know, of your life and in your family's life. Because my story goes all the way back. It starts in 1902, and it takes you all the way up to about 1985. Hmm. No, maybe a little. No, it takes you. Yeah, 1986, somewhere around there. That's the window of time. And so, it's just an interesting exercise when you're, you know, when you get to see your whole life in one story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just got reminded of how colorful it is, and how, you know, how much fun, and you're reminded of all the struggles. Because this is a show about struggle.
Really?
Yes, the show is about, it's about getting kicked in the balls and getting back up, and you just keep going. And every character,
I would not have guessed that, because you have such a sense of humor. You know, you really have an amazing sense of humor that I really would have guessed it's all kind of a joke. But it's a story about struggle, which you clothe within the humor of that struggle, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's every character in this show is struggling. Is struggling to make it, struggling to stay alive, struggling to feed their family, struggling to make the right decisions. You know, I didn't come from an affluent family. I mean, nowhere in my history of my family is, these are just regular people that are, you know, just trying to make it through life. And
even your grandmother in Hollywood with all of that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, she, and then you, all of that gets revealed in the show.
Yeah.
You get to see, you know, you get to see these moments of these people's lives that most people, certainly not the Bruce Springsteens of the world, but most people are going to go, wow, man, I can identify with that. And so, yeah, it is a story about struggle. That's really what this whole thing is about. And every character, especially when it gets to me, when Eric is born, and it's chronological. You know, just the struggles, because I've had, the struggle continues, you know, we're all still struggling. Life is a struggle, and even more so now.
Yeah.
People are just like, you know, things are getting exponentially more complicated and more noisy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the struggles are real for a lot of people.
And you can laugh about them.
Yes. And of course, you know, you got to find the humor in it, right? Because that's where the relief comes from. Whenever you're watching a good, you know, comedic movie, all of them are all rooted in some form of tragedy, some form of difficulty. A great story is, and so the comic relief is a way for we as human beings to just, you know, to move on, to process the information, because you can't just take, you know, grief and sorrow and pain and all of that. If that goes on for too long, you know, you need some comic relief. And the show is just riddled with comic relief.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you. People can get tickets. I recommend getting tickets right away for this month's show. Actually, July.
WhiteHawaiian.com.
WhiteHawaiian.com, and it's going to be at Pro Arts July 7th, 8th, with a matinee on the Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Yes.
It's a treat talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
Aloha.